Mini episode 1877 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode 1877, a quasi emergency podcast here. Rick Morris and Ben Chu, two of your favorite FDH Lounge dignitaries, and we are convened to discuss the large NBA gambling scandal that, again, you can probably already put on. We talk about Mount Rushmores as far as being, you know, positive things here, but the Mount Rushmore already of sports scandals, the Black Sox of 1919, you've got this, and you've got, what, Pete Rose, and I'm trying to think what else would go in there, but basically probably the 1951, I think, college basketball point shaving scandal. That it was funny that, like, they wedged that into an episode of The Sopranos.
When
Big Carmine passed away, they acted like he was the brainchild of the whole thing.
So, Rick, I'm sad that you did say, like, Ben is in his perch in Portland right now.
That's right. That's right. You're there. We're going to talk about everything in Portland. I also want to say, too, I would be remiss as the numbers of the show keep increasing here, and as we start getting to where they actually correlate with years that we recognize in history, 1877 being the year of the disputed presidential election from 1876 and the big crisis that led to almost 100 years of some form of reconstruction in this country.
Rick, so the crisis, know the rule. No comment. It's timeline. No comment.
Well, the crisis that America went through in 1876 into 1877, here's my analogy, is such a similar crisis headed the way of the NBA as this whole thing goes. Because the credibility, the ability for people to believe that what they're seeing on the court is not Fugazi, all of that is threatened in a way where it hasn't been in a long, long, long time because of something like this. The nature of something like this, and we all sports talk about the integrity of the game. Well, like, the Jonte Porter thing is already on the record. That's why they suspended him for life. They suspended him for life because he affected the integrity of the game on a micro level. This is a bigger level. This is potentially systemic, and there may be other dominoes that fall. So this is as damaging to the NBA as literally anything could be. Anything, Ben.
Right, you know the rule too, Rick. Like, that will not change anything. Like, let's just be honest. Like, it's part of the narrative. But,
yeah,
again, it's the NBA. The NBA is not bulletproof, you know, but it's part of the scenario. But as we will go through, like, in terms of, like, anything in terms of, like, the charges and these scenarios, like, it's a very interesting query because, as you know, too, you've had a really good initial start to this regular season. So that's kind of feels like, you know, it's one of those weird scenarios, right? At the end of the day.
It does. It absolutely does feel that way. And that's a thing where, and I was talking with you off air about this in terms of, we're coming up on towards the end of the year on the FDH Lounge. It has been traditional in recent years to count down some of the biggest stories in news for the year in sports. I like to throw in pro wrestling, the top five TV seasons of the year, etc. Number one or number two this year for me on the list is going to have to be the year that the NBA has had, because it has been objectively, none of this was necessarily really bad for the league unless there are you factor in questions about integrity. Once again, there's that word with the whole Cooper Flagg trade folding into, or I'm sorry, the Luka trade The Luka trade, Cooper Flagg trade. I'm 4 years early when I say that. The Luka trade is 2025. The Cooper Flagg trade is 2029. But when you look at the Luka trade and then the Cooper Flagg thing, and people were like, how did that happen? Dallas with a 1.8% chance of winning the lottery. But then Mike Malone getting fired right before the playoffs. Memphis losing their coach right before the playoffs. It's been the one of the weirdest years that the NBA had had, taking a sinister turn in the offseason to the scandal with the Clippers, now to this scandal, which dwarfs that scandal. So earlier in the year, it was just like, this is so weird that these things keep happening.
Yeah.
Like, now it is sinister, and now it's just like, there hasn't been a league that's had a year like this in decades, if ever. And this is not recency bias.
Right.
Check the tape. Look at everything that's happened this year. It is so freaky. And even if you want to go down to the whole thing of like, it's freaky in terms of between Dame and Tatum and Halliburton losing three of the top players in the league to Achilles injuries during the playoffs. Even that is a thing. Like, find me a precedent for something like that. This has been a fever dream year for the NBA. To me, it's one of the one or two biggest stories in sports for this year. You now have this scandal happening, and we were joking before about that when we've done the live NBA draft lottery show, when we've done the live NBA draft show on the thing here, my intro always refers to you coming from your perch in Portland. Well, from your perch in Portland, you've been eyewitness to some things here leading up to this whole thing. Chauncey Billups finding himself on the hot seat now, and you mentioning to me off air had me very intrigued. Games that you had been to where you were like, what's going on here? Like, no,
I mean, it's a legitimate conversation, Rick. I don't want to fully go into that scenario.
Sure.
But I will say, if, again, like, there, I would use this rule as like, we've seen both subpoenas in this timeline.
Right.
And there's only one subpoena that has been proven to say, hey, there's a scenario where a person who was a co-conspirator said, hey, they're arresting everybody. That's just how it is at that time. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
Yeah. And it's an interesting scenario. It's like, I'll be honest, it's like, you know, we make the joke all the time, the perch in Portland, right?
Yeah.
But this is the first time we're in a perch in Portland. It's like, oh shit, there is some real shit going on, right?
Yeah. Like, absolutely. Yeah. Because like being at games and seeing things over the last couple of years where you were like, why would anybody do what Chauncey Billups just did there with some of the substitution patterns and whatever. So it's a thing.
Again,
where,
I use this narrative. I don't want to go there because you can never truly know. But it's an open question now if you're getting indicted in the scenario. So,
well, and the whole thing of like, it beggars belief, any of these things here, that like whatever they'll come up with in the court documents, it'll be like, on such and such date, this happened. And that might be the one time they can prove it. But you and I talked about this off air. Nothing like this is ever just a one-off. It either didn't happen or it happened multiple times. There's no in-between. There's absolutely no in-between. And by the way, no in-between is, I think, that is a catch-all term for where we're going with the rest of this scandal. Like, for example, talking about the whole thing. And again, a lot that you and I did a lot of. We had a nice long pre-production meeting while I was in an hour and a half car ride today. But, you know, I was going through, you know, when we were talking about this, the whole thing of like, well, how do you offset some of the gambling stuff here? And it's like the whole thing of like, again, they're like, oh, two-way players or shouldn't be prop bets. Why would you insult the integrity of these players when somebody like Terry Rozier allegedly is the guy who's out there doing this kind of stuff? It just, these guys are much more poor than the other players, but it doesn't mean that they're lacking in integrity. It doesn't mean that they would necessarily do something like this. So I don't get it. And I have a fondness.
I mean, at the end of the day, Rick, if I'm being honest, we do not know the scenario of Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier in this time. We just don't know. Like, at least we know a narrative of Jonte Porter. We do know about that.
We do know that, and it seems like we're on the way to having that substantiated, at least with Rozier, and maybe to a certain extent with Billups based on what emerges about his coaching patterns and how that may have played into this. Billups seems to be more getting fingered by the feds on the poker end of the spectrum, which in and of itself is fascinating and led to countless Sopranos memes the last couple of days that were awesome. But just in looking at this, and again, no in between, as far as anything going forward, another way that I'm going to apply that term is the whole thing of like, well, what if they the casinos just did away with these prop bets, which first of all, happen ain't gonna because of how much money they make and how much it draws people in. And also, again, I hate to sort of self-identify as far as being an old head, but before the days of when there was these apps and everything like that, there was guys like me that were doing the offshore betting. Never a whole lot. Not like my bestie. My bestie was a little bit of a degen when it came to some of that kind of stuff. Not me. I just dabbled a little bit. But
it's or like, if we use this role, we would never do that. No.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But like, here's the thing. Are the offshore books going to abide by this voluntarily? Voluntarily? Like, you know, the American books just did away with prop betting. They just left a tremendous amount of money on the table. As an act of solidarity, I believe that we should do the same. Does anybody really think that's going to happen?
No. And
with the dark web,
I will say in this scenario, Rick, I just want, can I play devil's advocate? Because I love to play devil's advocate.
Sure, go ahead. Okay.
So in this timeline, like there, I feel like something will occur in terms of there will be some limitations. That's what I'm saying. Because this sounds like they allow a lot of people to go unfettered at some point, right?
I mean, I think it's anything that's done is probably going to be symbolic at best. I would think the whole thing of like, look, we're solving the problem here. Like, and this is a thing where sports, and we've seen it in baseball, my tribe coming down the stretch here, losing Luis Ortiz and Emmanuel Clase with the whole thing. And we've all seen the tapes now of like the ball that's like 25 feet in the dirt in front of home plate or whatever, you know, first pitch ball. Although it was pointed out, I believe, on this show by Tony Mazur, fellow FDH Lounge dignitary and great friend of ours. He made a point that I had never even considered. What if the hitter was crooked also? What if the hitter was batting first pitch swing? And, like, the ball is 25 feet in the dirt in front of him, but he still swings at it. Like, that's kind of funny to think about. But it's a thing where, like, I just think any kind of remedy that comes out of this is going to come from the stasis of everything stays essentially the same. There might be some kind of ass covering kind of pseudo fix for this thing, but the only thing that's going to fix this is the athletes figuring out, you know what, I'm going to get caught if I do this. And the only good thing, if we can about it, any of the stuff so far, is that everybody seems to be getting caught because there are the tools to catch you after the fact. The problem with the integrity of the game is that means that it first happens. And then you get disciplined, you do whatever to whoever, you end the career of this guy or whatever. But it doesn't unring the bell as far as the competitive balance of a game. And God help us if it ever gets to like a championship series or even an important playoff series where something like this happens. That's the ultimate nightmare for you. You might as well fold your tent. Yeah.
I would say this narrative too is like, at least for the NBA, I'll curse you. You know, I love the NBA. I respect them in the theirs, but they're in a timeline right now where a lot of this stuff did not matter at the end of the day. Just to them concerns, like Jonte Porter pulled himself out of the game, Terry Rozier pulled himself out of the game. No big. But I do think if this continues unfettered, it's going to be a problem at some point. We have to, like, just discuss this as human beings, but big thing for me at the end is like, I feel like this is, even though like I understand this is a terrible scenario, where, you know, like for the NBA this is not the greatest scenario, but again, there in any scenario, there's going to be people who will take advantage of the scenario. And it's just really sad that both Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups, who have both over $100 million of earnings, decided to do this stuff, because at least out of courtesy, Rick, and I think you and me both believe this, is that I could totally get this from a Jonte Porter narrative, at least, right? Like, I get it. Like, you don't have a lot of money. I get it. But both of these individuals who have played in the league for a period of time, it's like, you have over $100 million. What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, and this is one of these things where...
Allegedly. The key word is allegedly in the timeline, but...
Well, and what I don't hear anybody talking about with any of this here, and where I'm glad to be able to make this point, because I really like when our show can do that and make the points that other and connect dots that other places are not doing. That I talked about the Mount Rushmore of sports scandals before. Something that falls short of the Mount Rushmore of sports scandals, but is still notable in my mind, because I see it as a bit of a precursor to what's happening here. I'm going to go back about a decade or so, and I don't remember any of the specifics, so I'm not at risk of slandering anybody in particular, but there was at least one men's professional tennis player. I remember he was a Russian. That's all I remember. And there was suspicion around him because this guy in a couple of tournaments, retired with an injury, and they traced it. There was like a huge spite of bets going against him not long before that happened. I don't remember the specifics of it, but like I remember that being a thing at the time. That like, all this money comes in, and then a couple minutes later, the guy's like, "Ow, my leg! Ah!" Like, I mean, maybe that was legit, maybe, but generally speaking, where there's smoke, there's fire, and that's not a prop bet in the way that we're talking about here. Yeah. But it is still the ability in an individual sport. You don't need a prop bet in an individual sport. You can single-handedly swing the outcome of a match. And that's the whole thing here, too, that prop bets, they're the one way that you can unilaterally affect something as a player. You cannot unilaterally affect the outcome of a game unless you're in the right place at the right time. If it's a situation where you deliberately missing the last shot of the game might matter, but there's so many things that need to happen to set that up in the first place. To the closest probable point of comparison, what happens in an individual sport, winning or in this case losing, deliberately losing, allegedly, is the same as what happens with a prop bet, because it's the prop bet where you hold that in the
palm. But like I would say, so like at least for these cases, no one's deliberately losing.
But you're deliberately losing a prop bet in these cases.
At least in that case, yes.
Yeah, like you're deliberately going on.
What I'm saying, though, is like there is no scenario where a player has deliberately lost a game.
But also with Jonte Porter, though, remember, part of the video evidence on this thing was like some of the threes that
Rick, Jonte Porter, he's nobody. The only thing we're talking about Jonte Porter is that he got caught up in the scenario.
I get that, but like deliberately jacking up bad shots is at minimum a form of a point shaving.
But I hate to say this, I'm going to make this argument, and I'm okay. Not going to defend Jonte Porter, as you know, but
okay,
I will say he took himself out of a couple of basketball games. I'm just being honest. Like,
he
didn't impact anything. He did not make bad shots. And he did.
I'm misremembering. I thought that the caliber of some of the shots was in question. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I may be misremembering this. So in which case that wouldn't go into point shaving. What I just said a second ago would be incorrect if I'm misremembering that part. But we're talking the integrity of the game and something that is just ratcheting up exponentially with scandals like this. This is a thing where, again, the amount of damage that is being done, because, again, people are cynical enough in this day and age. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that, like, in every sport, everything – that like for decades and decades and decades, the whole thing of like, and again, I'm a guy that, you know, I was always bitter about this because I've always regarded Willie Mays as being the greatest baseball player of all time, largely because of being a two-way player. when you combine the defense with everything he did at the plate. And Willie Mays is a guy that in his retirement years was banned by baseball for working as a greeter at a casino, that this was somehow damaging the integrity of the game. The great Alex Karras served a one-year suspension in the NFL in the 1960s for some type of gambling sort of tie-in. Paul Hornung, I think, served a similar suspension as well. So the leagues used to be like, you know, you can't go within 100 square miles of anything gambling. And then like 10 years ago, they just kind of threw the doors open. They hide behind the whole thing of like, well, no, it's legal in most states, the Supreme Court, yada, yada, yada. But before the Supreme Court decision, as I saw today, it was being referenced in The Ringer. This was in 2014 that you had the commissioner of basketball, Silver, writing an op-ed in the New York Times about how basketball should reach an accommodation with the casinos. Because
but I don't see it, Rick. I'm not going to defend Adam Silver, but I will use this rule too. Of course, is that I'm pretty sure a bunch of other commissioners in these leagues would have said the same.
Everyone else, they came to the same decision because, and this is a very bottom line point of the whole discussion. The commissioners of previous generations were not wrong about the dangers of gambling and all this kind of stuff, but what happened was the modern commissioners were like, yeah, but have you seen the piles of money involved in this here? And that's what we come down to, that society has society writ large is tolerating things here too. You know, whether it be, I mean, on the gambling side, on the drug side, whatever, it's a whole thing of like, yeah, everything we said the decades in the past, it's not necessarily wrong, but these piles of money here. And this is basically when you make the deal with the devil, this is what you get. This is inevitably going to be a part of this. Like, anybody should have been able to predict this at the point in time when it came in. Aside from, I don't know that I necessarily anticipated that there was going to be, because again, self-identifying as an old head. I mean, in my day, the only prop bets you saw were on Super Bowl things like that. The offshores would have that. The offshores would have Super Bowl prop bets like they did in Vegas. And it was like prop bets were like a once a year thing. I did not anticipate. I'm not sure how many people anticipated every freaking game. There's probably ECHL hockey games that have prop bets. Okay. Like, everything has prop bets today, Ben. It has exploded. I don't know that anybody necessarily anticipated that. Perhaps some people did. Maybe people that were closer observers than me.
Yeah, it's part of narrative, Rick. Like, I don't think that fully changes. And I feel like, at least for the NBA, this is something that is truly serious. We are not going to act like this is not serious at all.
It is serious.
But at the end of the day, I will say, though, too, is that information is going to come out about a lot of these other leagues because, as you know, within the media narrative, people are going to start searching that, right?
Right. And this is one of these things where, again, as far as I would go so far as to use the word existential, if it gets bad enough, if they find that the rot has spread a lot further than we think it has right now, if there's anything at all that could take these sold-out arenas and put them as barns that are holding 5,000 to 10,000 people on a good night, that would be if people were just like, screw it. The whole thing's crooked. Why bother? Who cares? That's what's going to happen. Guys like me and you, the way that we are about basketball, I don't know that anything's necessarily going to drive us to that point. But we are not the average sports consumer, Ben.
But
the
I average use this real to accuracy, Rick. Like, until I feel like God occurs to, like, we exist in a universe now where everyone goes to the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting the full extremes. Like, this is a story that is truly important because we want to make sure that the NBA or any other sport has a level of integrity, right?
Right.
We want that.
Right.
But I would also say, too, is like, I don't think anyone has ever judged any, like, scenarios. Like, I would love to be like, you know what, Oklahoma City, they're not a true NBA champion, Rick.
Right.
It's just, that was rigged, right?
Right, right.
But at the end of the day, it's like, you have to have, there is a scenario, like, there's legitimate outcomes and legitimate, you know, scenarios. And then we're in a very interesting timeline where You know, we saw what Jonte Porter, we saw with Terry Rozier, and we saw with Chauncey Phillips. So that's going to get called into question. That's never. That's not going to change at any scenario in this timeline.
By the way, and
but
I just
I also feel like most people are not that stupid, though, right? They're right. Not going to like debate every single outcome from that,
right? And that was like, and I remember. By the way, now after looking something up here a second ago, so essentially you and I were both partially right about Jonte Porter. The next time somebody says it's not possible for anybody to be half pregnant, you can bring up this scenario because I think you and I were half. So here's the thing here, and here's what jogged my memory. From the Dumb Zone show, they were talking about this and showing the video, and it was labeled the Jonte Porter accidental over. And I remember this and like the zoom in on his face and how he looked like somebody shot his puppy right in front of him when he made that shot. So it's a thing where if you're that visibly physically ill at making a shot, then we are talking about point shaving here. If the ball was not supposed to go in the basket.
No.
Yeah.
Or so, I would say, Stuart, we are not debating a scenario where there are individual NBA players taking themselves out of games. We're not debating right. that. Like,
sure,
I feel
sure.
like that if anyone's acting like right. that, you're in a world we don't exist in.
Well,
this
yeah,
is a thing
yeah.
that exists. We're not going to debate that. But
yes.
at the end of the day, like I will say I curse you because the NBA is still the NBA. In both scenarios, in the outcome of the actual event, it did not matter as much. But
right.
to the bettors who were betting on their overs and unders,
right?
It did. And that's the big thing right now. It's like,
sure.
And again, we're going to see, as you can probably guess, like, we're going to, you know, like you saw too, like, there was a news blast that Adam Silver wanted, that like the Congress wanted to have Adam Silver do a thing. So that's going
right.
to, whether it happens or not, that's part of it. But what I would also say too is that, I feel like at least on the level of, you know, like gambling is gambling. We're not going to change that.
Right.
But I feel like at least in the interim, like prop bets are going to become under high levels of scrutiny in this timeline.
I like to see if there's any prop bets on the congressional testimony. Like during the testimony, will Adam Silver be so provoked by Jasmine Crockett that he snaps and refers to his ratchet? You know, I'd love to be able to bet a prop bet
Rick,
on something
you know
like
I will.
That. Yeah. No comment. Right. But that's where, yeah, like it's going to be a zoo. It's going to be just an entire friggin' everybody's going to have their pre-prepared speeches and everything like that. So, I mean, as far as shedding any light on where this is going before Congress is one of the probably last places that you would go to shed any kind of actual light on a situation. But this is America in 2025. So this is where Silver is going to spend part of his week up on Capitol Hill. And we'll get to see the sideshow here while the rest of it kind of plays out. And we get to see, again, as this manifests from here, you know, the tangible effects of this are the beginning of the head coaching career for however long anyways of Tiago Splitter in Portland. Get to see what he can do and get to see, again, just, you know, is this the very end of the career? It seems that way at the moment for Billups and for Rozier. And this is a thing where, again, I said to you off air today, like, gee, I always thought Billups at a certain point would get S-canned just for being a losing coach. Like, this is not how I saw it ending. But, you know, I think that's how most of us saw it ending, that at a certain point in time, his record's going to catch up with him. But you had said, and this is a very, very interesting kind of nuanced point to this, because there's not a whole lot of nuance on a subject like this. But as far as that, you'd always been critical of his ability to manage the rotations in Portland and that was problematic. And that my sense was, particularly since after they got rid of Dame and they kind of went into the rebuild, that it was a roster where I'm not saying that you're wrong on that. I agree with you. But I wonder, like, could like Phil Jackson or Eric Spoelstra or anybody make sense of?
Oh, we're going to bring this up. I'll be honest. Like, do I think outside of the co-conspirator narrative that was brought up mm-hmm. during that game against Chicago and stuff like, do I think Chauncey Billups is actively throwing games? No, I do not believe that.
Probably,
but
not,
I do understand in a scenario though. It's like if you are corrupted on that level.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be another couple of games where you're like, well, I have outside information.
Yes, that's it exactly.
I mean, it's just part of it. Accuracy, Turek, like, you know, like, I've been part of the FDH lines with you forever, right?
Yeah.
It's the craziest story I've ever seen in my lifetime.
It's way up there. I mean, this is, I said earlier.
We were talking about the Luka Doncic trade like 6 months ago, and I'm like,
yeah,
that was crazy. And I'm like, this is next level crazy.
This is how we're bookending the year in the lounge, you know, earlier on. And I've told the story, getting up for Sunday morning mass, getting a text from you, like, should we do an emergency podcast on the Luka AD trade? I'm like, the Luka AD trade? What? So, you know, we did one that day. We recorded it. We got in on it right away. This being a quasi-emergency podcast later in the year on this ever more serious subject here. And this is a thing where the whole thing with Billups having the alleged ties to the Gamblers, the poker games, the whole X-ray and all that thing is like just hilarious.
Let's just be honest, at least allegedly La Casa Nostra. So yes. Let's just call it what it is.
Yes, yes. And Billups with his relationship with the Capo di Tutti copy, allegedly. And allegedly. And
again,
as far as that,
but,
yeah.
You know.
But and that part of it. That was my first reaction to you that day when this broke, was that part of it's bad enough, because then you're getting into the Pete Rose territory of where now Pete Rose, again, was getting the bets down himself on the games, but it was a thing where Dan Patrick, the sportscaster, not the lieutenant governor of Texas, made the sage point years and years ago, and he said, look, I'm a Pete Rose loyalist. Would I like to see him in the Hall of Fame? Sure. But as far as the integrity of the game, they're like the way that you manage the bullpens and everything like that, if you're prioritizing one game over another game, that in and of itself affects the competitive integrity of the game. Right. So as far as, you know, the information that Billups had available to the Gamblers, and again, this is a hypothetical, but a scenario of like, hey, this is what I'm going to do with my rotation in this game, and this is what I'm going to do with my rotation in this game. So that's the whole kind of thing here where you are prioritizing one game over another if you're handling something like that and letting people know about it. That is the competitive integrity in a nutshell. So it's the ties to the Gamblers that are every bit as much of a thing. You can't say, oh, his thing is it's entirely disconnected. It's the poker thing, whatever. First of all, we don't know that that's all that it's related to. But even if it was just the poker thing, okay, being in league with criminals who would be looking to use anything from you to be able to make money illicitly on these games, you are affecting, again, the competitive integrity.
Rick, I do want to say, like, we don't want to go to that level like criminals, but these are unsavory individuals.
Well, Cosa Nostra, if we're talking mobsters, we're talking criminals. You split that, you know. Tony Soprano.
You know my role.
Yeah. Well, Tony Soprano will tell you he's just a waste management consultant from New Jersey, but you know, we know differently here. So again, the kind of people that Billups was supposed to have been in bed with, again, an unsavory crew, and any information they get is going to be used for crooked purposes. You know this. So it's
right,
a thing.
And at least what, just to, like, you know, for all the FDH Mons fans, like, obviously Billups was in that subpoena. It talked about he was in 2019 part of that illegal poker game. And then within the Terry Rozier thing, that was discussing the 2023 game between Chicago and Portland, where
right
he was named as a, he, well, again, I'll say it, Chris, he, there was some, an individual was named as a co-conspirator,
yeah,
but it sounded very close to being Chauncey Billups, so
yeah,
we're just going to assume that at that point. And again, you know, well,
and I just read a thing today,
Rick, it's tough to know, like, I again, like, you know, at least in that, if we're going to assume that Chauncey in that scenario had that info for that game, it's like, it was a meaningless game. Let's just be honest. We're not, you know, I'm not defending him. I'm just saying, like, look, it was a meaningless game. It was a game 62 when Portland was a team that was trying to get a better, draft pick. That was what it was.
Yeah.
But I feel like the bigger thing, though, is that, and at the end, it's like, we want to make sure the integrity of the league still exists, because whether it's the NBA, the NFL, the MLB, we don't want to be in that snare where we're questioning outcomes.
Absolutely, because this has been an existential terror of commissioners since almost the beginning of sports. That, again, if people lose faith that what they're seeing is honest, the bottom's going to fall out financially and in every other way. And that's what the NBA is looking at here. If this thing metastasizes into, you know, a much, much bigger scandal than it is right now, they're looking at just incredible ruin and maybe the literal application of the word ruin to their entire enterprise. And this is something where, as you look at it, as you see how this is playing out, that, you know, ultimately, everything with Billups and Rozier, you know, the scrutiny that they've been under, again, in particular Rozier, I read a thing today that, like, I guess, like, the league had previously investigated it, because, again, they'd probably seen evidence, you know, on some of these games here or whatever, and, like, you know.
We need to go through, it was like Rozier was previously investigated, and a lot of the high-profile source betting websites tracked a lot of that data in that time.
Yeah. And I think, like, Adam Silver was kind of like, well, the feds have more resources than we do, which is a kind way of saying that the NBA had delegated their quote-unquote investigation to the firm of hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. But, you know, so this is a thing where, again,
direct, no comment.
Yeah. So, clean bill of health from the NBA, only to get swept up by the feds. Yet another thing that's going to make the public say, doesn't seem like a real trustworthy enterprise here. So this is the thing.
And I think this is the bigger question that everyone's asking right now, even though it's, like, not the biggest question in this timeline. Terry Rozier went through his entire scenario, and then he did not play the rest of that season. Did someone know something? It's a question. It has to be asked just in terms of any scenario, in terms of any protocol. Under any circumstance, Rick, there's no reason why he shouldn't have played any other game.
Right.
Unless that's another massive injury that we all did not know.
Exactly. We discussed this off air also, too. And that's like, that's the signature thing right there in terms of how a team would handle it. If a team saw him do something that seemed hinky and they didn't have any proof, but they didn't want to risk it happening again, you just hold them out the rest of the way. That's what a team would do. That's how a team would, from that point on, protect the competitive integrity of the game whilst not sticking their neck out and doing anything that could get a grievance coming his way or coming their way from the Players Association or anything else. Which, again, all I'm seeing right now is all these crocodile tears from the Players Association. About, we're taking all this abuse because of prop bets. Which, again, by the way, it's not that it's not aggravating. It's not that I don't like going on social media and seeing it being choked to death. People want to complain that social media is choked to death with Russian bot farms and porn spam and whatever. Poppycock. The main thing that is choking social media is people whining about their prop bets. I don't give two shits about anybody's prop bets. And like,
how I gotta say, Rick, I use this rule. If you're complaining about your prop bets in the preseason,
you're a loser. You're a loser. I don't need anybody on here like, I had Joel Embiid going over 45 points tonight and I got screwed. I'm sick of seeing stuff like that from these stupid no-life weasels. Okay? Nobody wants to see that kind of crap. So it's not that it's not aggravating, but to act like that is the only issue here is the amount of invective that's coming their way, which is probably a problem to some degree. But it's also a thing here, too, where, like, are you not policing your own players? And this is the whole thing with unions as well, is that unions on any level in any place, it is a thing where, because it is about protecting the entire collective here, rooting out wrongdoing in a union is never the strength of any union, because it kind of goes against their purpose. So that's a thing where, the degree to which the Players Association is unintentionally, I would say, complicit in this whole thing here, too. What are they doing to try to get at this? I mean, I'm sure they're helping to propagate the league's message of you shouldn't be doing this. But are they doing anything beyond this? And that's the whole thing, too.
I mean, to be honest, Rick, like, I'm not seeing anything in this timeline in terms of my sources, but I would also say it was like the most forward-facing person right now in the Players Association is Jaylen Brown, the Boston Celtics forward.
Right.
He came out very ahead on this in that scenario. But he also, I currently see to like our narrative, is like he didn't say anything outside of, well, we would prefer our players not to be accosted for in betting line narrative. So,
and he wasn't even factually.
I mean, again, too, it's a tough scenario. I'm gonna be honest. Like, this is probably the first time like we've done either a podcast or a mini episode where this is something that is not normally what we talk about. Like, we'd be talking about, you know, if I'm being honest, we talk about a bunch of other things right now, but. What makes this situation unique is that it's a double narrative. It's essentially like you have a player who was essentially creating a scenario for other individuals to make money. And then you have a coach at one point during his career essentially creating a poker game that could make free money for him at the end of it.
Right.
It's just, we've seen a lot of insanity in the NBA in the last 10 years. Let's be
honest. We have.
Let's be honest. But,
you know, but I'm going to say. Like,
anyone was even conceiving of this level of.
Right. By the way, something that I think is almost unforgivable. I'm going to call this an inaccuracy rather than dishonesty, because I think Brown just had his facts wrong. But you're in no position to have your facts wrong, buddy, at a time like this, on a subject like this, when he said he was acting like it was all on the league. The league's bringing in this gambling money, and we're not even seeing any of it. Hey, moron, are you not aware that when you get into the collective revenue percentages of the league and what the revenue split is, like, just because it's not part of your direct contract doesn't mean the players aren't making money off of this. There's
Can I come out this? Because I'm not going to talk about Jaylen Brown because I respect Jaylen Brown a lot.
I'm glad somebody on this show
does. The scenario we're in now of, like, gambling is bad. Gambling is the worst scenario. Like, in my opinion, it's the dumbest scenario, in my opinion. This was always going to come to this. This was never going to be,
inevitable.
Like, oh no, we are all the moral high ground now because we're not gambling on this. I'm like, in my opinion, accuracy. And I will never say these words on any other episode, mini episode, Rick. Just get prepared. Here we go. I will say it.
Yeah.
Dumbest stuff I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Well, yeah.
Like, everyone has a moral high ground now. I'm just.
Yeah.
And I don't get it because I use this rule as like, all of y'all were still doing, you're still betting on games.
It's just
happening. It's not going to change. And at the end of the day, like, the biggest thing, and we use this too, is like, because at least if we're talking about the league, like, you know, when the scenario is like, we want to be talking about the integrity, and I get that. Like, that's important because and it's weird to say within sports because I know you are also a AEW, WWE, and we talk about, you know, endings. And I'm like, even though, like, we all perceive, like, nothing is rigged, that is giving the perception, like, well, the outcome could be rigged at some point. So, I don't think the league wants to be there. I know, like, Adam Silver will probably come out. I mean, he did an interview on on Amazon Prime during the Knicks-Celtics game where he was very adamant that this was a very isolated scenario.
Of course he's going to say that.
The question we all have to ask now is that if there is a coach who was essentially, you know, manipulated to do things, we have to ask the question. We have to. just as right. any human being. And if I'm being totally honest, like, do we think like an NBA head coach had multiple scenarios? It's probably not true. Let's just be honest.
Right. Yeah, right. Case.
But
well, yeah.
The big thing, as you know, too, it opens the door, and that is the thing that we all talk about. Because in terms of any sport, whether it's the NBA, the MLB, the NFL, it's like once we're talking about integrity of the game,
yep,
that is the problem at the end. And I think that's the biggest thing right now for Adam Silver to discuss.
Yes, and my last point is just to say this, that the problem, and again, the commissioners all those decades, you know, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, you know, Bowie Kuhn, Larry O'Brien, et cetera, like Pete Rozelle, everyone being so adamant on gambling, they all understood that basically you open the door, you let in this element, there's no going back. Society is a one-way door on this, whether it be the federal government granting entitlements here. Like, there's never been anything that the federal government since the 1930s has given away to people that it's later been like, you know what? We're going to claw that back. Everything's a one, which is part of the reason we're $37 trillion in debt right now. Everything is a one-way street. Everything's a one-way street. It just goes that way. There's no getting gambling out of this because it's in. Once the hook is in, it's not going anywhere. There's no reversing it. There's absolutely no reversing any of this. So it's a matter of like whatever thing they're going to come up with to sound good. Of like, you can't do prop bets on the 15th guy on the bench anymore. Wonderful. Thank you. What would that have done to stop the Terry Rozier scandal? You know, but just they're going to come up with something that they hope people are going to be hoodwinked by whilst just sitting there. And again, crossing their fingers that at a certain point in time, enough of these players are going to stop being morons and are going to realize that, like, you can affect the competitive integrity of the game, but it will catch up to you. You will be banned subsequently. The juice is not worth the squeeze. Right. And, you know, and I could tell you, I mean, you know, and from it just, you know, dealing with, you know, everything I deal with in my life and, you know, dare I say, even on an HOA level, like, there are a lot of mouth-breathing dummies in this world, okay? Just more of them than you can count. So to think that everybody in these sports leagues is going to smarten up and be like, you know what? I don't want to risk everything on this. There's always going to be somebody, and that's going to keep dragging us down.
And at the end of the day, too, Rick, I don't think that will ever change because you're going to have someone, whether it's again, it's a weird scenario when Terry Rozier has made over $125 million during his NBA career. So it's an interesting scenario. Like, why is he the guy that did it instead of like a dude like Chauncey Porter who had no career at that time?
Yeah.
But I would also say, too, at the end, it's like, I feel like the NBA is getting thrown on their bus, and I'm going to say this out of courtesy. It's like, Let's not get it twisted. We were in a timeline where, you know, we're in the MLB, Ohtani's rep. That's also part of it. I would not be shocked that there's a couple of NFL teams or agents in the same scenario. The thing is that I feel like this is part of the world right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like we use this really, it happens every like 20 years where the NBA is used to be an example of.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. I feel like that's disrespectful.
Well, look, don't have scandals like this if you don't want to be in the conversation, is what I would say.
But I use this rule too, Rick. I curse you.
Okay.
I guarantee you, if this was a different scenario, the Ohtani stuff with baseball would be get brought up at the same timeline. If there was any congruency, that's what I would say.
You raise an excellent point. You raise an excellent point. The whole thing of the interpreter taking the fall for that, allegedly, just like Janet Gretzky taking the fall for the gambling, allegedly. So it does happen, allegedly, in instances where sports are like, you know something, such and such is too big to fail. That does happen. You raise an excellent point. And there's nobody here in this scandal in the basketball world that's too big to fail. If this was LeBron in the midst of this thing here, I kind of agree with you. I think the NBA, if it were LeBron in this situation, they'd be circling the wagons and doing the nothing to see here quicker than you could blink. So I think that, yeah, it just is a matter of...
I mean, in this case too, Rick, like LeBron was very close in this scenario.
Well, yeah, because...
Even if it was the full narrative, it's still some narrative we discussed, like in terms of the 5 to 6 games that was being discussed, like that was... He was part of one of those games, so.
Well, and that's the whole thing.
And I'll come out and say, too, it's like, there's nothing regarding him in this timeline. Like, he was not, listed.
Right, but it was reportage of his availability that was coming out here that was being monetized.
Interesting, again, I like to say, again, I'm an NBA fan. I appreciate the league, and I know that it's like, this is not a great look for the league. But
no,
what I would
not.
Say to you is like the NBA is not exclusive for guys getting pulled out at the end.
No,
of the day.
No.
We've
look
it
at baseball.
NFL, we've seen it for Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball
has its own prop bet scandal at the moment here, which continues to rage on. Emmanuel Clase a year ago, at the very least, was regarded as the best closer in baseball, and he's now seemingly on the verge of being banned for life. This is huge, huge news. So, no, you're right about that. I mean, all sports are grappling with this to some degree. I referenced it earlier with tennis. I'm not sure tennis has ever completely gotten its hands around the situation. What do you do with, players, retiring due to injury, other than going to an automatic thing of having casinos invalidate, that as a win or a loss, which, there should be some thought given to. But this is a thing where, in terms of that when LeBron was available, when AD was available, that Coach Jones there was supposedly selling off the information on that, which I will say, late breaking news as you and I are talking, that for this Sunday's football games here, after an entire week of being led to believe that Lamar Jackson would play, turns out he will not play, and so the Ravens now are like, well, we thought he was going to play. What do you want us to do? So this entire matter of player availability, and it's a thing where it's like, well, it's a competitive advantage thing to keep the other team guessing. Yeah, but what happens is, again, the competitive integrity of the league goes out the window. If only certain people know that a foundational player is or is not going to be playing, whether it be LeBron in the NBA, whether it be Lamar Jackson in the NFL. So this is the thing where – leagues can help themselves on the transparency. Leagues can help themselves.
And I do feel like if anything comes of this entire scenario, whether it's for the NBA, the NFL, or any of these things, I feel like that's going to be the thing that we learn.
Yeah.
There will be a timeline now where we will see, like, Lamar Jackson's not going to play in this game much earlier than we would expect. And I feel like that is... If there is a silver lining for any of these, whether it's the NBA, the NFL, or Major League Baseball, there's going to be a timeline now. It's like you're not allowed to be cute with your lineups anymore.
Right.
If Lamar Jackson's not going to play, Lamar Jackson's not going to play.
Right. And that's,
it's a weird scenario, Rick. It's like, it's like we're in a timeline of gambling. It's like, well, for gamblers, secretly, it's not going to be the worst thing because we'll know more sooner, right?
Right.
Yeah,
well,
more confirmed.
Well, and I started out this segment here by making a jokey comparison to the real world events of 1877. I'll do the same with something ripped from the headlines here at the end of the segment. Because there was some, I had just seen a thing today. I think this was from CNN.com. I believe it was Harry Enten that was breaking down some statistics here. That like voters right now, believe it or not, compared to like a year ago, they're like not nearly as concerned about the economy or inflation or whatever, which seems really, really weird. It seems really weird that you'd be less concerned now than a year ago, but it's the case and it's dramatically down. And you can't figure out why. This is the way forward for the NBA, all right? Just have people so beaten down to where it's like, okay, well, there's going to be some games that are fixed. What are you going to do? Yeah, that's the whole thing. The beaten down American voter, that to Adam Silver right now, he sees that as the way forward because you can't fix this. We've established this. gambling's a part of this thing. You can't fix this. There's some things you can do around the margins, but you just got to hope you get lucky and that enough players smarten up and whatever. But like, they will announce that fixes will be coming. We're here to tell you those aren't real fixes. So there is no Santa Claus when it comes to fixing this stuff here. So, you know, they got to just hope that it's like the American voter with the economy where it's like, okay, well, what are you going to do? That's the credo of NBA fans for the next decade.
This on a previous episode, we'll be like, there's a lot of chaos right now. There's so many problems in the NBA. And you know what? I like to say it, so many problems in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
I guess expansion's coming soon. Right. If there's a timeline for a place like Seattle and Vegas to get two teams, you know.
Yeah. Everything always comes back to that for you. It does indeed. So
it's back to expansion all over again.
Yes. And yeah.
But I will say, Rick, regardless of that, it's like I personally do not feel this is troubling for the league, but if you're in a scenario where you have, whether it's coaches or players, tipping off individuals, that is something you do need to legitimately consider.
You do. And to your point on expansion, I would just say sarcastically to you, yeah, what could better distract folks from the NBA gambling scandal than putting an expansion team in Las Vegas? Yeah, that'll really steer people in another direction conversationally.
Just lean in. Here we go.
Yeah. That's the whole thing. Yeah. We'll see how this ends up playing out. But yeah, a fascinating spectacle, as you and I unsurprisingly demonstrated here as we're recording this today. So again, always a pleasure to break it down with you, my man, Ben Chu from the Perch in Portland, where more may yet be unfolding. And we'll keep up with you as this continues to be the case. Thank you very much.
Well, Rick, I gotta say one thing. Thiago Suarez, 1-0, baby. That's how it is. 1-0, baby.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
There's some people in America that are like, oh God, Chauncey got arrested. There's a handful of Blazer fans that are like, good.
Well, good. And as I was joking with you off air today, that like if their big bet on Jan Hansen ends up really paying off in the long run here, and he ends up having a notable career, it will be notable that this is how his career started, was in the shadow of the Chauncey Billups scandal. It'll be getting talked about.
It's better be lucky than good, right?
Yeah, pretty much. So we'll see how all of this plays out. And again, I'm sure we'll be revisiting this the next time we do a basketball segment here on the show. Thank you, as always, my man, Ben Chu. And thank you, everybody, for joining us for mini episode 1877 of the FDH Lounge.